Radio Prague News.
A court in Brno has sentenced US citizen Kevin Dahlgren to life in prison for the murder of four people. Czech and Swedish police have apprehended seven people suspected of being involved in large-scale production of amphetamines, and Czech tennis player Nicole Vajdišová has announced the definitive end of her career. The regional court in Brno has sentenced US citizen Kevin Dahlgren to life in prison for the murder of four people in the city in 2013. Delivering the verdict on Wednesday, Judge Michal Zamečník said that the 24-year-old had seen his victim as representatives of a frustrating world, adding that Dahlgren's personality disorders meant that there was a high risk he could kill again. After murdering four relatives of his in the Brno district of Ivanovice, the American immediately fled to the US. Last year, he became the first citizen of his country to be extradited to the Czech Republic. Mr. Dahlgren has appealed the verdict. Czech and Swedish police have apprehended seven people suspected of being involved in large-scale production of amphetamines, the head of the anti-drug squad of the Czech police, Jakub Friedrich, announced on Wednesday. Four people have been arrested in the Prague and Liberec regions and three people, including the boss, in Sweden. During the raid, the police uncovered a first laboratory in the Czech Republic to produce this type of drug. According to experts, it has produced at least 3.5 tons of amphetamines over the past 5 years, which could be sold for nearly 1 billion crowns in Sweden. If convicted of drug smuggling and illegal sale of narcotics, the group's members could each face up to 18 years in jail. Conservationists will not approve the plan of Prague District 5 to install a giant wheel on the embankment of the Vltava River. The head of the Prague City Hall Heritage Department, Jiří Skalický, told the Czech news agency on Wednesday. Prague 5 councillors plan to install a 60-metre wheel by the river in the Smíchov district and have already signed a deal with the investor to rent the proposed site. However, as part of the UNESCO World Heritage List, Prague needs to get approval from conservationists to install such a huge construction in the city centre. The energy giant ČEZ applied on Wednesday for an assessment of the environmental impact at the Dukovany nuclear power plant in case new reactors are constructed there. The analysis, known as an EIA, is necessary for reaching a decision whether or not the new blocks can be permitted and built. According to Dukovany spokesman Jiří Bezděk, the step is part of the country's National Action Plan for the Development of the Nuclear Energy Sector, which calls for at least one reactor to be built at Dukovany by 2037 to take over from the aging reactors currently operating at the site. Czech tennis player Nicole Vajdišová, who once ranked number 7 in the world, has announced the definitive end of her career due to long-term injuries. She made the announcement on Wednesday on her Instagram account. The 27-year-old player, who reached two Grand Slam semi-finals in 2007 and clinched six WTA titles, quit playing already once in 2010 after she tumbled down the world rankings. She returned to professional tennis in 2014 after a four-year pause, but hasn't had any major success. Dozens of cyclists set on a 1,500-kilometre journey from Olomouc to the Vatican on Wednesday after receiving a blessing from Archbishop Jan Graubner. The participants of the Tour de France want to raise awareness about the difficulties faced by parents of mentally or physically disabled children. Members of the peloton will be received by Pope Francis in the Vatican. The journey is expected to take 21 days. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, US citizen Kevin Dahlgren has been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of four people. The Czech government has failed to agree a common position on a controversial call to tax money being returned to churches in restitution. And later on in the program, we talk to an Italian businessman who has created a cheese empire in the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The The first US citizen to be extradited to face criminal charges in the Czech Republic has been found guilty on 4 counts of murder after a high-profile case. He now faces a life sentence in a high-security prison for the brutal deaths of his Czech aunt and uncle and their 2 children. Chris Johnston has more.
Kevin Dahlgren heard the verdict with a stony expression. According to the judge, no one else but Dahlgren could have committed the murders back in May 2013. 3 members of the family were killed in their home in a quiet suburb of the Czech Republic's second biggest city, with the remaining son killed after he came back from school. Dahlgren tried to cover up his tracks at the home, but traces of the victim's blood were later found on his shorts. Witnesses who saw him on May 22nd said he acted as if nothing had happened. Dahlgren later that day fled to Vienna and caught a flight back to the States, where he was arrested. The judge dismissed one of the main planks of the defence, that Dahlgren was such a deeply disturbed person that he could not be held responsible for his actions. The judge agreed that the American indeed had psychological problems that influenced his behaviour, but not to the extent that they could exonerate him. And Dahlgren's relative youth, when the murders took place, he was a few weeks short of his 21st birthday, was also brushed aside. Kevin Dahlgren's defence lawyer immediately declared that an appeal would be launched against the life verdict, which usually means at least 20 years in jail. A large part of the court case was focused on Kevin Dahlgren's psychological state, with submissions from both US and Czech experts. Unlike the US experts, the Czech ones tended to the conclusion that Dahlgren could be held responsible for his actions. The picture emerged of a loner from a young age who was unable to create relations or fit into society. He hankered to overcome his frustrations with his normal life by committing some deed that would make him infamous and a celebrity. Dahlgren also described voices in his head from his childhood that blocked out everything else and encouraged him to do evil. He said those voices were overpowering in his last days with his relatives in Brno, so much so that he could hardly raise himself from his bed. Although silent throughout most of the trial, Dahlgren described the voices in his first and final comments in court on Tuesday. He added that he'd been undergoing treatment for the last 3 years and pleaded with the judge for his psychological condition to be taken into account.
I had no control.
Nebyl jsem schopen svůj život ovládat.
Any of my actions.
Neměl jsem pod kontrolou žádný ze svých skutků.
But I could do what and only what the voice instructed me to do.
Mohl jsem dělat pouze to, co mi ten hlas řekl.
What happened to the family is a tragedy.
To, co se stalo rodině je tragédie.
The American came to Brno after failing to get a job in the US. He made a bit of extra money by giving English lessons. He tried to get into the army at home but failed the enrollment tests and also dreamed at one stage of going to Africa to save wildlife.
Chris Johnston with that report. The Czech government has failed to agree a common position on a controversial call to tax money being returned to churches in restitution. While the Social Democrats and Christian Democrats are opposed, ANO have angered coalition colleagues by backing the proposal. Ian Willoughby has the details.
At a cabinet meeting on Wednesday, ministers failed to agree on a joint position on the proposal to tax the monetary part, more than 60 billion crowns, of a restitution package for Czech churches. The 2012 law redressing the communist-era confiscation of church property, also including 75 billion crowns in material assets, was deeply divisive. The idea of taxing the monetary part has been floated by Jiří Zimola, the Social Democrat governor of the South Bohemia region.
All we are saying is that all tax subjects should be liable to pay tax. If we want entrepreneurs to pay tax, if we all pay tax as employees, and if all companies pay tax, I don't know why churches shouldn't pay.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has dismissed the proposal from Mr. Zimola, a party colleague, as a ploy to help him win re-election this autumn. He also says it would likely be shut down by the Constitutional Court. By contrast, Finance Minister Andrej Babiš, who previously backed a similar call from the present-day communists, supports the idea. The ANO leader argues that the original deal was a con. In his view, the amount the state was judged to owe churches was massively exaggerated. and the government now needs to claw back some of the money.
It's necessary to tax it because the state has handed out 54 billion crowns more than necessary. If this goes through, we would get compensation from the churches of 12 billion crowns to 13 billion crowns.
The Christian Democrats, many of whose supporters are churchgoers, have been particularly incensed by Mr. Zimola's call. Marian Jurečka is the party's Minister of Agriculture.
When this coalition was formed, we had a gentleman's agreement not to interfere in church restitution in any way, including retrospectively. So I have to unequivocally reject the proposal and the principle. It's like if I steal something from somebody, return it, and then tax them for it. It's just illogical.
Christian Democrats party leader Pavel Bielobradek has gone even further, suggesting that as the plan would also impact the Federation of Jewish Communities, it carried a whiff of anti-Semitism. The matter is now set to be debated by the Lower House of Parliament.
Ian Willoughby, thanks for that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. It's perhaps a surprise that one of the biggest exporters of cheese to Italy is based in the Czech Republic, and that the same company is also one of the biggest sellers of cheese in China. The Grand Moravia factory in Litovel is also the single biggest cheese production plant in the world. Chris Johnston has more in this edition of Marketplace.
The takeoff of cheese production at the plant in Moravia is an Italo-Czech success story. Perhaps it's also a model of how some things can go right in the EU. For this story would not have been possible without freedom of movement and investment. The starting point was the purchase of an already existing small cheese producer in the region by a long-established Italian producer around 15 years ago. The Italian company bought money and generations of know-how, and from the Czech side came cheap quality milk and a motivated workforce. The result has been a near 100-fold expansion in production, with the Czech-produced cheese sold in some 50 countries worldwide, and the management firmly believing that further expansion is possible. As well as the cheeses, which are mostly matured in Italy due to the availability of storage space, the Italian company has also launched a network of its own cheese and Italian gastro speciality stores in the Czech Republic and in a few other locations around the world. I spoke to the head of the Italian company, Roberto Brazzale, on one of his frequent trips to the Czech Republic, and I asked him first of all to give a short rundown of the family firm.
We are the oldest Italian company, cheese company, and we come from the Asiago High Flat, a wonderful region in Venice. Our family make the same job since so long time. We don't know how much, but we are sure that our ancestors already in the 18th century at the end of 18th century, they made cheese, and we are working with the same company.
And the move to the Czech Republic, when did that happen and why?
After a long study, we chose Czech Republic for the quality of livestock, the strength of its agriculture, and I have to say the high professionalism of the staff, reliability of the country. Yeah, we love Czech Republic, and its history, culture, art, territory, its population. We are Venetians, always have had relationships with Bohemia and Moravia, and we were fellow citizens under the Habsburg Empire. Thanks to your input in the EU, you could make a big project with Italian technology and know-how and Czech animal husbandry to compete on world markets. So we are very satisfied with our choice.
But you started the business here in the Czech Republic when exactly?
Exactly in 2000. In 2000, we start with a very, very little company. They produce hard cheese, but not enough good for competing in the international market.
And how small was that company? I mean, how many people? And did you know then that you had the plans to build it up into something a lot bigger?
Yeah, the company was created from a Czech woman. Has been a romantic entrepreneur. She is Maruska Martinu. And when we came here, the company worked only 6,000 liter milk per day. Today we worked around 500,000 liter per day.
Why did you choose the Czech Republic? What were the economies? What were the advantages over the situation in Italy? I presume a lot of the costs are cheaper and that gives you some advantage.
The cost of an hard cheese depends for about 80% from the price of milk. In Italy, Italy is a deficit country. Milk is good enough, but much more expensive, approximately 30% more compared with the Czech Republic, where is very good milk. Milk of Czech Republic is ideal for the production of our cheeses, of high quality cheeses in the Italian tradition. Then, in general, all the Czech system is more efficient and less expensive than Italian. From energy, fuels, taxes on labor cost. In the end, the cheeses cost about 25% less than those we do eat in Italy and taste better, much better.
And what on a business, what does this mean? The local market in the Czech Republic is not so big for you, so I presume it means you export most of your production.
Only 5% of our production is consumed in Czech Republic. We have became the largest exporter of cheese from Czech Republic. Gramoravia was created from nothing in 2003, and today is the most important hard cheese imported in Italy. Where in Italy is the biggest consumption. The production of the Litovel cheese factory, where we work 500,000 liters a day, is the largest in the world in a single plant. Even in Italy, there is not a dairy farm with the production so high. Gramoravia is sold in 54 different countries in the world, although the most important market is Italy.
And was there any problem, any resistance in Italy to having the name Gran Moravia? Did you have to do quite a lot of marketing to explain, okay, this is made in the Czech Republic, but it's good cheese anyway? And was there any resistance in Italy originally to the idea of importing Czech cheese?
Of course, it's quite a revolution, but this is opportunity done by the big change of the last 20 years. And our project is so clear, so transparent. Everything is very clear. Gran Moravia has the meaning, this hard cheese coming from Moravia. And in Italy, there are a lot of people very happy because we introduced a competition in a market very closed.
When you say a closed market, how closed was it in Italy? I mean, were there one or two other big producers or just one?
No, there are more than 40-45% of Italian milk is used for hard cheese, fantastic cheeses like Grana Padano and Parmigiano Reggiano. But this system is quite closed because it's a duopoly and it's not possible to increase the quantity. There is limitation of natural limitation. So a new player on the market with a high quality compared and comparable and sometimes better than Italian cheeses has been a big new. So, you know, competition is very good for consumer, but is not good for your competitor.
At the moment, in the Czech Republic, you sell or you have your own shops here. Is that the same model you use throughout the world? Or what is the model for your sales? Is it your own shops, franchising, or do you sell to supermarkets, or is it a bit of everything?
Yeah, this chain is new also for us. We are the only one European cheese company with a retail chain. We developed it in Czech Republic, and our all shops are managed directly by us, with our staff, which is prepared through training courses, also in Italy. We do not plan to use the franchise because we wanted to treat directly the quality of service, product selection, sales price too. And we want to have a direct relationships with our customers who need to feel at home in our shops. All their advices we need to improve, and their compliments are precious for our enthusiasm. Buy and sell of all our products have to be a party, both for who buys and who sells. This is our philosophy, and eating is a joy. It must remain so, thanks to the quality, to the convenience for the consumer, and the atmosphere in the shops.
What are your plans for development in the Czech Republic? Have you got more or less as big as you can get here, given the sourcing of milk and maybe the plant, or do you still have plans to develop here or in the region?
Czech Republic has enough milk for increasing. And we are today in Europe in a big change, big revolution after the quota system. And we are convinced that Italian technology with the Czech milk production could be developed further again in the future, step by step, as we are used to do.
So that means you will expand your production in the Czech Republic?
Of course. Of course.
To how much?
Well, we don't know. As much as possible. we will follow the demand, the world demand, step by step. We are not pressed. We will do it naturally, as we has made in the last 15 years. But the potential of this country is very high, with the add-value cheese as a hard cheese. We are convinced.
How far does your cheese actually travel? I mean, I heard that the Chinese market is now opening up for milk products, and all of Asia is becoming quite a promising market, actually. Does some of the Czech cheese go that far around the world?
The biggest markets remain Italy and the other, Germany, USA, French. But we are working also in China. In China we have a little cheese factory, but we have a little Formaggeria Gran Moravia in Shanghai, a shop. Through that shop we test the behavior of Chinese consumer, and we have a lot of information. Today Gran Moravia represents around 40% of all Chinese import of hard cheese. But be careful, the import of cheese in China is very low.
But there are a lot of Chinese.
But, yeah, there are a lot of Chinese. And it's also very important for the culture of the company to learn a lot of things. And also for the long-term view, is China a very important market.
Roberto Brazzale was Chris Johnston guest on that edition of Marketplace, which was first broadcast in March this year. And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Frankova. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.